All right, and thank you for listening to Counterspin here on Coast Community Radio. It's about 62 degrees on the Tillicum House porch, and it's time for the conversation. I'm joined by John Stevenson in the studio, and we're going to be continuing the conversation we were having about 2 weeks ago, last time, with Graham about education. We're going to be furthering that discussion.
We sure got to climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Hey, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea. Some folks back home decided they wanted a law passed, so they called their local congressman, and he said, "You're right, there ought to be a law." And he sat down and wrote me out and introduced me to Congress, and I became a bill. And I'll remain a bill until they decide to make me a law.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill. Well, now I'm stuck in committee, and I'll sit here and wait while I feel.
Yeah, hey, welcome everybody. I'm John Stevenson. I'm here with Dylan today to pick up where Graham left off last 2 weeks ago when he was talking about education. And I wanted to sort of spin it into and get your comments, just so you know, the phone number, 503-325-0010. And the principle of this show is we want listeners to call in and have a conversation in a way, albeit indirect, you would be conversing with Dylan and I, but also with the other callers. And one of the things we think that is unique about our call-in show is that when you call in, you've got an exceptionally good chance of getting on the air. That doesn't happen when you call Rush Limbaugh. So call in and let us know what you think. I wanted to direct the conversation on education into how essential it is to a functioning democracy. Consider what education can do that would be useful to a democracy as far as its ability to cure ignorance. And I want to separate the words ignorant from stupid. Ignorant, although if you're called ignorant, you're probably taking it as a horrific insult. It actually technically just means you're lacking information or you've got the wrong information. Education can be the cure for that. I think stupidity is a whole different matter. Education can cure gullibility, that when a demagogue type candidate starts spewing, if you've got a good background of knowledge, that person's information is not going to resonate with you because you know better. You might spin that in out of government into even believing advertisement that if you've got a good background in education, you're not going to get had. Conspiracy theories, which abound and seem to be growing. There was recently a lot of information going on around the moon landing, a lot of shows in that, and I think it was the Times that suggested that thousands of people believe the moon landing was a hoax. How does that happen other than a lack of solid information on the other side that would not allow that sort of paranoid or ill-informed opinion to develop? That's just one example. There's conspiracy theories all over the place. The last episode, we also talked, Graham talked about, and I think some of the callers talked about the liberal arts education versus a more technical job-oriented education. And I think the conclusion was that both of those can coexist. that a basis of liberal arts education followed by something that might turn into a job might be the best progression. Liberal arts, I think just to give some definition on it, liberal arts would include topics like history, civics, anthropology, and economics, things that would be really beneficial to our democracy if we had a solid basis of information in those sorts of topics. If you were ever lucky enough to get a good history teacher, he or that person could have, I'm thinking of a history teacher I had that suddenly opened the door to how interesting it is and what a way it is to time travel and how it explains the past and the present. And it's the very best way to forecast the future. And if you think about it politically, you can see the progression in America from Reagan to Clinton to W up to where we are now. And if you look at it as a 40, 50-year continuum, it makes a little bit more sense. And if you look at it from that perspective, you can kind of crush your heart and dare to look at the future. 503-325-0010 if you want to weigh in. Love to hear from you. The founders, in regard to the value of a good education as far as the basis for a strong democracy, put a wall up and put all sorts of restrictions on voting. You can say that they were racist, which they probably were, or elitist, which they may have been, but if you were a woman or a black or a non-property-holding white person, they didn't think you had the wherewithal to be a voter. And the other wall they put up was the Electoral College, just in case a demagogue might have appeared that needed to be, that had popular support, but that the nation needed to be protected from. So all those negatives about the founders, they may have been onto something in that government requires a certain level of knowledge. Voting requires a certain level of knowledge in order to be effective. If there's any teachers out there, I'd love to hear from you about how liberal arts and the best venue for it is achieved. Is it something that we can knock out at the high school level and then college becomes more focused on a career path, or is college the next step in understanding the liberal arts topics? My sense is, and maybe Dylan, you can speak to this, that when you dive into high school topics like economics and history and anthropology, things like that, civics, that what's your take on a high schooler's wherewithal to absorb all that?
Well, like you said before, there's definitely a distinction between something like ignorance and then something like, I don't know if you'd call it stupidity. It's kind of a brash word, but maybe a lack of education. I think that's sort of dependent on whether you or not you think it's an incurable thing, like if someone is stupid there.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that if you wanted to have a real understanding of economics or enough to be a good voter, would the economics that you get in high school be adequate, or should that be required?
It definitely depends on what high school you go to.
Yeah.
And for our listening area, I think the high schools here provide a pretty ample amount of knowledge in that sector.
Yeah.
And that's to my experience, purely anecdotal. The phone number is 503-325-0010. We'd like to hear from students, college, high school, middle school, educators of any level.
That song we started the show with is from a series called Schoolhouse Rock, and I'm too old for it, so I didn't really know what it was, but I know people in their 50s that swear by it, and people that are just turning 20 years old that know all about it as well. And it seems like after I listened to it, I thought I felt a little bit smarter.
Well, it's a classic for sure.
Yeah, and it seems like they found a way, you know, talking about the levels of education, where you are in school and how much you can absorb, that was formatted in a way that must have been brilliant because it seems to have stuck.
It definitely stuck. It stuck with me.
Yeah, and I know other people, like I said, in their 50s that can sing along with that. I don't know if they sing it as if it's just a pop song or if they sing it as, look at what I know now that I didn't before. So whoever did Schoolhouse Rock had something figured out.
Mm. Once again, the phone number to call is 503-325-0010. Is education an integral part of the spine of democracy? Is it part of the backbone of democracy? We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and if you were to look at the data on voting patterns since, say, the end of World War II, you can see education, and because they can identify or they have figured out in polling or census, or I'm not sure where the data comes from, but I think it's pretty reliable, that education and voting patterns are linked. We've got a call.
Yes, we do have a call. Hello, this is Coast Community Radio. You're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not an educator, but I do have some teachers in my family.
Oh, that's okay.
And I think one of the things that we're doing nowadays in teaching is a lot of teachers are being taught, they would say, to teach to the test. And starting in grade school, they're doing a lot of teaching where they're working on comprehension and skills, and they're missing what they used to do, which was like a content-rich curriculum, they would call it, where they're giving kids a lot of background knowledge and sending them forth with just the basics that you need to know so that everything that you learn going forward builds on that. So I think that's something that's missing, because everything you learn as you move ahead builds on what you learn in the beginning. And your reading comprehension, one of the most important factors in understanding what you're reading is what you're building upon. So what we've done in making testing so important is overlooking the fact that they need to have a basic understanding of so many fundamentals that they're going to need in the future, like social studies, history, the foundations of what it is to be a good citizen.
What?
I was going to ask you, do you think there's any merit to have testing be the determiner of your skill level in a given subject?
Well,
do you think that's an accurate depiction of a student's skill?
Probably reading comprehension, but the kind of testing that they're doing now, maybe where it's they hand them a book and the focus is, can you identify the main theme? Can you see where the person is looking for the metaphor? Takes both the joy out of reading, but also takes the child out of the story, or doesn't have them absorbing the information as much as, you know, I'm running through this book looking for an adjective. They're missing what it is to read, and they're missing the information. And going forward, they're not taking with them what they would have if the teacher had been able to choose a book based on the content rather than, oh, good, this is filled with lots of metaphors, I'll use this, you know?
What do you think the basis is for that shift?
They needed a way to identify who's an effective teacher, and the way that you can do it in something that's measurable is something you can test. You can show quantitatively something that you can score, and it's harder to show something that you can't fill in a bubble.
Was it a political agenda that there was a growing attitude that teachers or schools are bad and they're not doing well and the teachers aren't doing their job?
I don't know.
That somehow the testing would prove out that theory?
I don't know. I don't know if there's any bad guy. I don't know if it was, you know, I don't know if there was any bad intent or if it was a bunch of people who looked at children that they thought were not doing well and wanted to find a good way to measure it, but I think that the way they've gone about it has been against what cognitive scientists would tell you is beneficial to children. And then I was thinking about it in the context of what do we need to do to be good citizens and what do you need to know in order to be an educated voter? And it occurred to me that you need to have a good background. And where does that background start? It starts when you're little and you're listening to history, and then you take that forward and you go to high school and you take civics and history and you build on what you learned earlier. And if what you were doing as a child was, you know, not focused on absorbing what you were reading, but rather worrying about what you were going to be tested on.
Yeah, I just wonder, because conservatives, people who are politically conservative, have been swinging hard at education. I'm not sure what marked the time. There was prayer in school, and when that was eliminated or outlawed or whatever it was, it seemed like conservatives started...
Not mandated. Outlawed, because you can still pray in school, but not... The teacher can't conduct prayer mandatorily.
Right. If you listen to conservatives, they would mark that as a touchstone in their beliefs that education is taken off in the wrong direction. And if you listen to Fox or right-wing talk radio, they just insult teachers and schools continually. And I just wonder if that quantification vis-a-vis testing had sprung from that.
Yeah, I don't know. They've tried different ways of doing this, and now, you know, there's a core curriculum, and people have different feelings about it. But and different states are trying different things and trying to make them more appealing, but trying to shape them to their own students. Like Louisiana has a program now where they're trying to have the curriculum be more acceptable to the parents in their area, and Baltimore has one that is more shaped towards what their students and their families would find acceptable, but still be up to date and manageable. And I think those things are okay. You have to understand that it's history, but, you know, not everybody's going to want to have their children read the same things, as long as they're still, you know, accurate, as long as it's still true. It's not like when Texas was doing textbooks and they were trying to put in non-evolutionary science. So yeah. I think you can be culturally sensitive.
We've got a couple calls lined up.
Oh, but then I'll let you go.
Hey, thank you so much for the call.
Sure.
And
I'll be listening. Bye.
Thanks loads.
Hey, thank you.
Sure, bye.
One thing that really resonated with me there from the younger person high school background is the difference between testing quantitatively and something more ethereal, like testing the student's quality of learning and what they absorbed from it, because that's not something you can put a number on.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to hear from a teacher about that, how you can quantify that when it is sort of hard to get your arms around.
Absolutely. The phone number here is 503-325-0010. We do have a caller on right now. Hello, this is KMUN. You're on the air.
I am. Thank you much.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. The last caller hit on something that I find dear to my heart, the fact that she indicated, at least she thought, that they were still teaching civics, but I don't recall civics being taught much past the eighth grade. I graduated high school in 61, so that's quite a while ago, and things have gone demonstrably downhill from that point on, as it seems to me, socially. History is not being taught. If it is being taught, they're not making it a focus. Look what's happening in our country today as compared to what happened in 1930s Germany and Europe in general.
Is this at the high school level?
It doesn't make sense that is happening, because it seems as though the education, the focus of the education is more on things that don't really indicate something that reveals what history has taught us to this point in our lifetimes. Our current chief administrator, if you will, has no grasp of how the Constitution works. He claims the Constitution is the enemy of the people, that the news is the enemy of the people. And that's exactly what happened in 1930s Germany. And I find it amazingly frightening that this is being not brought up more into the news. The idea also that you can have people that think that religion has some part of teaching people how to survive on this planet in this day and age is astonishing. Look what happens in the states where they have decided that birth control is wrong, sex education is wrong, and all of a sudden they have explosions of STDs, explosions of teenage pregnancies. And nobody's doing anything about it, except they think by more prayer they'll take care of it. And that's just utterly ridiculous. You know, when I was in high school, our science teacher, our history teacher walked in. He said, if you can write down what happened at the Teapot Dome scandal, I'll give you an A in the class. Well, nobody had heard of the Teapot Dome scandal. That happened back in the teens or the 20s. Of course, nobody knew, and we had to sit through the class. Which is good, because we actually learned history from a teacher that had been in the Army in World War II. So he had a first-hand knowledge of what was going on. And that's what's missing. I think we need more civics being taught in school. They just don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I can't speak to what is being taught and what's not being taught, but I do have opinions about how important it is. However, you know, if you look at a country like America and our democracy, our most important election, or the ones that people participate in the most, is the presidential election.
Exactly.
And we barely scratch over 50% of eligible
John.
Voters that participate. So it's no wonder
We
get leaders like we do if we don't participate. And then maybe those that participate are bereft of enough knowledge to be great voters. And that's what education can do in terms of a strong democracy.
True.
People that know what they're doing. I'm not talking about intelligence tests or any of those things
in
the past, which were had a different motive altogether. Just in education. And the truth is manifest through the last 40 years.
True.
As far as how much information is lacking and how easily people are persuaded and persuaded by demagogic leadership. You know,
exactly.
Reagan has been turned into somebody that's part of the Trinity up above.
I know. It's just crazy. It's just, I don't know, you know, and I recently attended a presentation here in Kathlamet by a science teacher. He's a retired science teacher. He's running a robotics program for Wakayakum High School. Brilliant guy, and he was explaining how they set up these little kids to do these different, to program their little robots. And I piped up and said, you're teaching these kids logic. And that's exactly what they're teaching them. But that's good, because if you can't differentiate fact from fiction by saying, yes, that's true, and if that's true, this cannot be true, and this can be true if this works, well, then you're going to get their attention. They'll be able to figure out how stuff works. Then you apply that into civics, into history, and maybe we'll get something out of this education.
Yeah, well, it was good to hear that Dylan spoke positively about the local schools here and the high school. But, you know, school boards in the South, particularly, there's a group of conservatives that saw school boards as the way to really change the culture. And they dominated the school boards, and they were right. And I would encourage anybody who's looking for something to do to contribute to society to consider school boards, because that's where the culture starts. We've got another call here. So
okay.
thanks so much for checking in.
Thank you for taking my call.
John, if I can interject with just a quick question. For the younger students who may not know exactly what the broad term of civics means. What all goes into that?
Well, civics, my quick definition would be civics is the understanding of how government works and all of the things involved. You know, frankly, I listened to the Schoolhouse Rock thing, and that's a civics lesson right there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I might not be right on that, but that's my understanding of what civics is how government works, all of the intricacies and the mechanisms and so forth.
Right. We do have another caller. Hello, this is KMUN. You're on the air.
Hi. I taught community college English for a number of years, and I just want to speak to, one, the importance of education in general, as well as the importance of the liberal arts, even if it isn't in somebody's direct line of study, whether they're going into welding, if they're in a vocational trade, or economics or medicine. Liberal arts emphasizes critical thinking, and I think we can see nowadays how important that is to be able to parse all various sources and determine whether a source is credible or not.
As a teacher, has there been a diminution of liberal arts requirements over the years? Whereas my understanding is that before you could proceed on a career path curriculum, you had to satisfy liberal arts requirements. Is that still the case, or is that diminished?
It depends. Excuse me. It depends on what field of study you're going into, but many fields of study do still require some liberal arts. But I can say that the liberal arts, the humanities in particular, are generally not viewed today at the college level as being as desirable in a sense, simply because a lot of people don't see them leading into a direct career, and so they're not as valued. And, you know, I hate to say it, but where I taught and this was, you know, a good thing. Our science faculty got this beautiful new building, and the English faculty were kind of shunted off to this, the former nursing department, which was remodeled for the English teachers. But it's just an example of how a lot of money and focus is being put on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math subjects, whereas the humanities are not valued like they used to be. And it's a trend. I mean, education goes in cycles, like a lot of things, but it's not something that I feel good about.
Is there, I don't want to keep going into a political rant, but is there a motive that's political behind that shift, do you think?
No, it's about getting, at least at the community college level, it's about getting students into jobs and or getting them to a four-year school, depending on what their goal is. But most community college students, at least where I taught in Longview, they're not necessarily moving onto a baccalaureate institution. They're working to get a job as quickly as they can. So the liberal arts aren't seen as necessarily as beneficial. So you want to get them in and out the door as quickly as you can in some cases. At least that's the way it felt more and more when I retired 5 years ago.
Yeah. That's interesting, and I'm just looking for its culprit or its cause, and I wonder about. I have to confess, I listen to a lot of right wing media, and I can't exactly tell you why, but I know those people, and I know how they do it, and
I don't think that's the case, at least in my situation. I taught in Washington. And in that case, it's the legislature. And, you know, state of Washington puts a lot of tax dollars into the community college system, and they need to see results. And results are getting people into the workforce. So I really don't think it had anything to do with right-wing politics,
particularly
in Washington State, maybe elsewhere.
Yeah. But just in terms of what I've witnessed over since the 60s is that the kind of things that are taught in liberal arts used to sort of raise the hackles of conservatives. One is they don't produce money directly like a job focus does.
Right.
And then they started, this has been going on and going on in spades now, that you cannot trust the history teacher because they're going to tell you the Civil War was about slavery and everybody knows that's not true.
Exactly.
And they have shifted this. Not to get into it, I apologize.
That's very true. I think perhaps more so at the high school level, although I know a number of universities are having to adjust some courses, my understanding, because some students are upset by some of the content. And I don't want to speak about something I don't know a lot about, but that's definitely the case.
Okay. Thank you so much for the call. If we keep the conversation going on education, I'd throw out there the money aspect. And, we, the taxpayers, fund education to a degree. We fund, to a degree, student loans. But just talking about the money, we don't have much say-so in tuition rates. And given that student debt funds for-profit colleges, and we are the progenitor of student debt, I'm wondering if a conversation about tuition levels at for-profit colleges that leave these students with abnormal debt that we're on the hook for, if we don't have some right, some regulatory right when it comes to tuition rates.
And then, of course, someone like Bernie Sanders who's wanting to throw away all the debt. So it's definitely a very pertinent topic right now.
Yeah.
And it's not just for-profit colleges. For example, in Oregon, the University of Oregon, any Oregon higher education institution, the four-year schools, the tuition rates have increased, maybe astronomically is stating it too much, but simply because the state of Oregon taxpayers or the legislature isn't providing as much money to those institutions. So students are having to bear that.
Yeah, we've got to jump here. Thank you so much for your call and your salient points. This is...
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. KMUNS Story in 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5. You can hear us on the web at coastradio.org. And stay tuned for news, followed by Albert and Friday Morning Folk. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in, everybody. Trying to keep the conversation alive.
You're listening to Coast Community Radio.